I left my farm in Northeast Texas for Australia, and here's why. I'm often asked, does rotational grazing and raising sheep 100% on pasture work in desert conditions? To get the answer, I visited one of the driest states in the USA, then flew across the ocean to the driest inhabited continent on the face of the earth to bring you Raising Sheep on Pasture, Australia. The purpose of this trip was really to explore the implementation of the regenerative principles that I promote in an environment that is less than friendly. Each of these farmers is navigating in a dry environment and still doing so in a way that really benefits soil health and produces a highly marketable finished product. And what is more is that each of these farms has developed unique marketing streams. The unique marketing streams that are really and truly necessary in today's agricultural environment to make a success out of life in agriculture. Today I'm taking you with me on my tour of McIntyre Brook Lamb in Queensland, Australia. Upcoming is the 12-minute tour of Sophie's operation, and for anyone wanting to go a little deeper, please see the link in the description for the full 32-minute tour. Sophie and her husband are first-generation farmers raising Australian white sheep and marketing the meat direct to consumer.
So my name is Sophie McInerney, and our business name is McIntyre Brook Lamb, and we live here at Belhaven Brook, which is situated about 70 kilometres east of Gundawindi on the Queensland, Northern New South Wales border. This out here is the McIntyre Brook, which comes out of Coolmunda Dam and eventually flows west into the river system out there. It's a beautiful part of the world, although very dry at the moment. We're really hanging out for some rain.
Now, with the rainfall, what is your average rainfall and what have you had this year so far?
Yeah, so we're about 630 mil here, but this year's been a really odd season. We came out of summer with basically no rain. We had a really big fall in autumn of around 70 mil in one hit, and then for winter we've had only tiny little dribs and drabs. So I think for the year we might be sitting at that 100-120 mil for the year. So not a lot, unfortunately, but it's amazing what growth we did get from that autumn rain. Thankfully we had that, otherwise we'd be in a world of hurt.
mils converts to just 4.7 inches, and that is rainfall for an entire calendar year. McIntyre Brook Lamb farms with a regenerative focus, meaning that one of their primary goals is to put carbon back into the soil. Carbon is one of the primary soil building elements. It is the organic matter that increases the water retention capacity of the soil, so that what water does fall on it is maximized. Soil organic matter or soil carbon can be increased by root systems of plants growing beneath the soil surface. Humus, which is dead and decomposed plants, animals, and bugs within the soil. And animal manure, which is the highly fertile output of livestock which lands on top of the soil and is absorbed and processed by soil microorganisms. It is an investment in the soil that lies beneath our feet that will allow it to produce during the difficult times of drought.
So we have around 800 breeding ewes, Australian white predominantly. We started with a Dorper base, but slowly breeding our way into the Aussie white. I think the Aussie whites have done a great job with their marketing, and we're really happy with the results we've had from the lambs. The growth has been amazing. They're tough and they taste incredible.
And do you raise them on any feed inputs, or do you try to stick to pasture only?
Yeah, we are grass-fed, which can be challenging. It's great when it continues to rain, but when it doesn't, definitely is challenging, which at the moment it is. We're struggling to feed our ewes at the moment, which is why we're sourcing adjustments. So we'll put them on a rent property very soon, and that way we'll free up our land to continue to fatten our lambs.
So how much land are you using to raise this flock of 800?
Well, not a lot really. We're 500 hectares. We try and plant winter and summer mixes, around that 12, 13 species every time.
Now with the 13 species, what are those 13?
So for this winter mix out here, it was predominantly oats, ryegrass, peas, vetch, some brassicas, turnips, broccolis and cauliflowers. I didn't see a lot of them, but yeah, that's the predominant species that we have.
Sophie cites here that using this 13-part multi-species pasture planting to finish her lambs, she's able to achieve a daily growth rate of 500 grams, or 1.1 pounds per day. She's able to hit a finishing weight of 55 to 59 kilos, which is 121 to 130 pounds, by 5 months old, given the appropriate rainfall, and 7 to 9 months old in times of drought like she's seeing now. With the boxed lamb model, Sophie takes orders on her lambs through her website with an ordering cutoff date that precedes her trip to the butcher. Each customer is guaranteed a box full of lamb, either half or a whole, and can choose from a variety of different cuts of meat, whether high-end or daily use cuts. McIntyre Brook lamb is fresh, never frozen, so it goes straight from pasture to processing and is delivered direct to the customer. Sophie's customer base is local, so no shipping takes place at the moment.
I think you mentioned it on an Instagram post the other day. You grew up, you would take them to a sale barn, that would be your income. How does the boxed lamb model differ?
Quite dramatically. It's especially paying off right now. I think I just read the Warwick sale report earlier, which is just down the road. That's our local selling depot or market, and lambs this week, I think they average $40 a head. Pretty sad. I don't think anyone's going to make money out of that. So for us right now, we're really fortunate because we have that continued market. We're actually selling out every month. We're processing 80 lambs a month currently, and we sell out before our order cutoff date.
Sophie is citing a live weight market price of $40 Australian, which translates to $26 US. Presumably on a lamb between 40 and 60 pounds, this is a staggeringly low price for lamb, especially coming off of the extreme highs of 2020 and 2021, where the Australian sheep market was red hot. While no one can give definitive answers on why the decline in the Australian sheep market is so steep and so sudden, drought, a surplus of lamb in cold storage, and the absence of buyers buying replacement stock are the three elephants in the room.
Now, when did you start the boxed lamb marketing?
Just over 2.5 years ago. It's been a really steep learning curve, and we've failed a lot of times, but you know, we're learning from those mistakes. And
well, that's incredible growth for 2.5 years.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Now, what do you find as far as marketing the most effective for bringing in new customers?
I guess ours grew quite organically through family and friends originally, but then, so our email list is probably, it's like, you know, our little, our golden egg, I suppose. Like, we really treasure that and keep growing that. And so I guess one of the ways we do that is through competitions. Like, we run a monthly competition, a lamb box competition. That's really great. And we've recently just taken on a marketing company to help with some of our ads, our Facebook ads, which has been quite incredible seeing those results. The girl that we deal with has been fabulous. Any content that I put out there, she just makes it go further into the world. So that's how we've grown to where we are really at this point, and just nurturing those customers and being really transparent about our journey. I think having a niche has been really important. Like, we're grass-fed, fresh, you know, Australian white lamb, but with a regenerative focus.
As Sophie mentioned, they are direct-to-consumer, selling 80 lambs per month and delivering fresh, never-frozen meat throughout the Sunshine Coast region. The quality of their meat is elevated far above anything you can find on the conventional markets, being raised 100% on pasture, and through the choice of a breed that provides a high-quality eating experience for the end consumer. Sophie cited that monthly she has an order cutoff date. However, every month, she is selling out of her lambs before that cutoff date. While she thought at the onset she would spend more time being a farmer, 80% of her time is devoted to marketing, building her newsletter list, maintaining her website, sharing through social media, and connecting with the audience that is fueling the growth of McIntyre Brook Lamb.
People people are really concerned with where their food comes from, and they really love our story here with our focus on looking after our land and animals. We're tapping into more and more areas all the time, hoping to go as far as North Queensland at the start of next year, just hoping we can process some more numbers to be able to do that. We're all online. We have a store, mcintyrebrookland.com.au.
One of my biggest takeaways from my visit to McIntyre Brook Lamb was a heightened awareness of the importance of establishing direct-to-consumer sales streams for farm products. Drought and inventory surplus are causing a crash in the Australian sheep market in 2023. Without the ability to market a premium lamb direct-to-consumer, McIntyre Brook Lamb would be up against very difficult odds, especially considering the fact that they are a first-generation farm still carrying the initial debt of buying the farm. As Sophie shared honestly, this marketing effort takes time, but income from direct-to-consumer relationships has produced a steadiness in cash flow that many of their fellow farmers are not experiencing this year. What was most encouraging was what Sophie cited as her lifeline was her email newsletter list and her website. This was encouraging because these are the methods I myself use to market my own sheep here in the USA. If you want the full 32-minute tour where Sophie goes in-depth on more marketing information, her breeding program, and where and how she learned to manage the land regeneratively, please see the link in the description for the full 32-minute tour.